from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
One of my favorite things yesterday after the game was over, saw the call Jesse Agler made, but the video of him
so cool
actually making the call, Dave Marcus throwing on the turning on the phone and recording it, and then I found it was Paul who put that together with the little screen and screen.
Jesse just texted it to me. It was, sent me the video.
It was so amazing to see Jesse and kind of rocking back and forth and how tense and excited he is, and his call, you've heard it, I think, two or three times already this morning, was spot on, outstanding. You know, one of those moments that he knows will live on forever. You want to nail it, and I think Jesse nailed it perfectly in his call.
So we talked earlier, I mentioned, like, Lincecum. Remember, like, you know, you get a chance to see a no-hitter, even if it's thrown against you. He threw, like, 2 in 2 years against the Padres, right? Or 2 in 1 year, like, calendar year. But the Padres hadn't had one thrown against them in a while. Joe threw his in 2021, but Jesse wasn't there.
Right. He called it, but he called it remotely from here.
That's the first one he's probably called, right?
I believe in person. Yeah, it's the first time he's seen it. It's the first Padres no-hitter, like Dave Marcus, who has been engineering Padres broadcasts for, what, 35 years? I mean, long time. Has never seen a no-hitter in person. He travels to every single game.
Good Lord.
But not to the Joe Musgrove game because, of course, of COVID. And still coming out of it in early 2021. So many people with the Padres had never seen one, and this was their first opportunity. So that was cool. Wow. Paulie has compiled some of the other final calls of the no-hitter yesterday. So, Paulie, just take us through your list of what we've got.
Well, you heard Jesse earlier. I kind of, in the show open, we kind of actually split a little bit of Jesse, a little bit of Don.
Which was great.
So here's Don's full call on TV last night.
Abrams to right field. Johnson coming in. He makes the catch. No hits for the Nats. Dylan Cease throws a no-hitter. The second no-hitter in Padres history. There'll be a sea of San Diegans celebrating back home today.
I like no hits for the Nats. It rolled right off the tongue nicely.
Well, speaking of those Nats, and, you know, we've been talking about it all morning now, like calling the home, you know, being the home team, the away team, throwing a no-hitter. How do you do it? Are you bummed? If you're the broadcaster, do you play it down the middle? Are you excited even? Well, here's how the radio call for the Nationals went.
The right-hander rocks and kicks. Cease fires. Abrams swings and lines into right field. Johnson coming in. He's there and he makes the catch. And Dylan Cease is mobbed by his catcher, Camposano. And here come the rest of the Padres. Jumping up and down as they drift back toward the third base side of the mound, out toward shortstop. In a hopping celebration for right-hander Dylan Cease, has thrown the second no-hitter in San Diego Padres history.
It's well done.
Thanks, so.
It's really well done. By the way, credit to Mark Grant and credit to Tony Gwynn Jr. for letting Don and Jesse have that moment, right? I mean, it is your natural inclination to do something. You'd have to ball gag me then. Like, literally, you'd have to take me out of the room. Get Woods out of here because he's going to step all over my call. Like screaming or doing something, right? I mean, it would be so hard.
You know, it had to be a tough moment for the Nationals. It was a good call. They came into that series with a little hope. I think they were,
sure,
you know, like four and a half back in the wild card, thinking, hey, if we have a good series here, maybe we buy at the trade deadline, maybe we have a chance to make the playoffs. They're now seven out. They're behind everybody. They're done.
They're shipping off Jesse Winker, yeah. Lane Thomas, all a bunch of guys.
Their closer.
They already shipped their closer out.
Well, they have another closer.
Kyle Finnegan.
Kyle Finnegan's
on Floro his way out.
Floro is probably available. Padres might be interested in
a couple of those guys.
One or both of those guys. But their season effectively was ended by the Padres over these last 3 days. So that's tough. And it was still a very good call. Of course, we have the foreign language calls. I don't know if the color analysts are quite as disciplined as Tony and Mud were.
Right.
But let's go. We got the Spanish language. Was Eddie on the call? Eduardo Ortega?
Yes.
All right, great. I'm glad Eddie got to call it.
La figura central va por su décima victoria. Dylan Cease. Se ha colocado a un out del 27, inolvidable. Lanza, batazo corto al jardín derecho. Allá viene el jardinero. ¡Captura! ¡Se acabó el juego! ¡Juego sin hit ni carrera! ¡Atrapa Bryce Johnson! ¡Lo logró! ¡Estamos en la capital de nación! ¡Dylan Cease se cubre de gloria! ¡El segundo juego sin hit ni carrera en la historia de los Padres! ¡Sucede, amigos, en Washington!
Oh, you got a little emotional there.
Yeah,
a little choked up, dude. Twice.
I could hear that.
Oh, I love that, man. I love that. He's the GOAT.
I heard a segundo en la historia de los Padres, second in the history of the Padres there.
Nación de Capital, something like that.
Our nation's capital.
So cool.
Captura by Bryce Johnson out in right field. I'm getting a little bit better on my Spanish listening to Eddie's calls.
Carl,
good job.
Carl said, Eduardo just destroying my AirPods right now. He got fired up, dude. It's hard to move in and out when you get really excited, man. But that was a brilliant, brilliant call.
All right, no color guy stepping on Eduardo either, which leaves just our friends from Korea.
Yes.
They are always the ones who like to step on each other. Mm-hmm. Let's see how it sounded on the Korean language broadcast of Dylan Cease's no-hitter.
Abrams.
A rough start, but a good finish.
After the guy had his, 3 seconds or so.
Did he give him
back off, dude. I'm calling a no-hitter.
He might have given him the hand.
It was 4.3 seconds. And then he let the man.
Then he let it. Let his guy have his moment there. Calling a no hitter.
Yeah, he gave him the hand for sure. He's like, shut up. God, killing me. Killing me right now.
Oh, good guy. Good calls all around, actually, on that no hitter. That was solid. We need a contestant for Take on Woods. You want to call in right now? 833-288-0973. We're going to play in about 3 minutes. But while you call in, we're also going to hear from the man of the moment, Dylan Cease, who joined our Sam Levitt on our Padres postgame show yesterday here on 97.3 The Fan. Listen in.
We're joined by Dylan Cease. Dylan, congratulations on a tremendous start, a tremendous day. Take me through what your emotions are right now. How are you feeling?
Oh, thank you. I mean, right now I just feel happy. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. It really is. It's almost too good to be true. I don't even know how to feel right now.
Dylan, at what point today did you realize that you were maybe in the midst of something special?
I feel like after the fifth, it kind of starts getting serious. And then after the seventh, it's like, you're very close. So I try not to think about it too much. I mean, it's inevitable. It's going to cross your mind. But I was just trying to focus more on pitch sequencing and where I wanted to get the ball.
Dylan, did you feel that intensity heighten as you got into the eighth inning? Your pitch count after seven was at 94. It was at 103 pitches after eight. Did you feel things getting a little bit more tense? Were you concerned about the pitch count at all?
Yeah, I mean, it was a little concerning. I after that seventh, I think I was at 94, 95, and I kind of just had mapped it in my mind, like, if I finish the eighth with, like, 105, then that should buy me, you know, an inning's worth of pitches. So that was kind of what was on my mind. And then other than that, like I said, it was just how am I going to sequence and how am I going to execute?
Dylan, a couple of years ago with the White Sox, you came one out away. And in fact, it was your now teammate, Luis Arraez, who broke it up. When you think back to that day and you think about what you did today, I mean, how sweet is this considering you have come so close in the past?
Yeah. I mean, if it happened twice, it would have been heartbreaking. I can tell you that. But, man, I mean, anytime you can do something that's, you know, like that, it almost feels too good to be true. You know, it's so much has to go right. Look at those multiple defensive plays today that went our way. I couldn't be more thrilled.
Yeah, you mentioned the defense. There was the catch in center by Merrill on the deflection off Bogart's mitt. Xander made a great play later in the game. There was a double play from Solano to Kim that was not easy whatsoever. What'd you think about the way your defense helped you through this no-hitter?
Man, I mean, they were rock solid. You know, I mean, I wouldn't have thrown it without them. But, you know, Merrill being behind Bogey right there and making that play, and Bogey making that kind of double clutch sliding play on Ruiz. I mean, it's just so much has to go right. And I'm sure when I look back at this, it's going to be even more amazing.
Dylan, that moment in the bottom half of the ninth inning, two outs, you're facing the Nationals leadoff man, C.J. Abrams, line drive to right, Johnson catches it, you leap up, teammates swarm you, celebrate with you, take me through your emotions, your feelings, what was that moment like to finally do it?
Man, I don't even know, I don't really know how I felt. I was just so happy, and, you know, I just kind of let out a scream. I think it was like a primal scream, and then everyone is around me. So I think that was the most fun part is, you know, everyone kind of not dogpiling, but, you know, forming a circle and just being so happy. And I mean, I was just screaming yes. I think I screamed yes like 50 times. And man, I that's something I'll be able to relive in my mind for the rest of my life.
Well, Dylan, screaming yes for good reason. What a performance here today. You've been so, so good as of late, and you were quite literally unhittable in this one here today. Dylan, again, congratulations on your first career no-hitter, and we'll see you back here in San Diego. Thanks so much for calling in. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right,
That's a great Dylan Cease with the great Sammy Levitt. My God, I was listening to that live and got chills when I heard it. Pretty cool moment after as they're riding on the bus to Baltimore. And Joe Musgrove, who had the Instagram live going, it's on MLB Network, and they're replaying the last inning. Dylan standing in the middle of the aisle, rewatching it. He's standing. Everyone else is sitting. And they're like, yeah, and they're screaming, and he's jumping up and down like a little kid, man.
Probably watching it for the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, when you watch it on TV, it looks like Abrams probably gets a line drive single there. It can't have been the only one who thought that.
He looked really hitterish. Really hitterish.
The Padres posted an angle from the dugout of that final play.
Yeah.
And Cease, at first, the ball off the bat, he kind of does the crouch, like, oh, crap. And then he saw that Johnson was right there tracking it. He puts the arms up.
My favorite part, though, was the guys in the back of the bus when they showed the stats from the end of the game. I think he had 9 punch outs. And somebody pipes up from the back. I think I know who it is, but I don't want to spread false information. You couldn't get 10 punchies? And I'm like,
this is Manny Machado.
And I'm dying because it's such a baseball player thing to say. You could hit 4 doubles off the wall. Inevitably, your teammates are going to be like, bro, weight room. Come on, man. Like, what are you doing? 4 off the wall? It's embarrassing. You're like, I just hit 4 doubles. Are you guys kidding me? They're like, that's pretty weak. That's baseball in a nutshell. So they were riding him a little bit. And he's like, I know. It was a really cool, special moment.
Obviously, Dylan Cease probably a little overwhelmed by everything. A great interview by Sammy, but he'll have some time to digest and reflect, and he's going to be on with Gwynn and Chris this afternoon on Fryer Friday as well, live this afternoon from Baltimore. So you'll get maybe a little more perspective, thinking back, maybe some of the stuff that he missed when he joins Gwynn and Chris today on the program. So make sure you tune in for Fryer Friday.
I think they're only doing an hour. 3:05 is the pregame show. So
2 to 3,
somewhere in that 2 o'clock
you'll
hour.
You'll probably hear from Dylan Cease. All right, let's get to it. It's time to play a little Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods. Take
on Woods. Woods.
I think I look more like a game show host with my Dylan Cease mustache on. Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. At random, let's go. Joe, are you there?
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Joe. All right, you're our contestant today, trying to qualify here at the end of July for our drawing. Two-night stay at the Rio Las Vegas, dinner for two, day bed at the Rio Pool. The Rio is back. New ownership, newly remodeled rooms, four sparkling new pools, and a brand-new food hall. Book now at RioLasVegas.com. All right, here are your categories, Joe. We've got three times a lady. Lady, the key word in those titles. X marks the spot, songs and artists that end in the letter X. And the afterlife, songs and artists including the word after. Three times a lady, X marks the spot, or the afterlife, Joe?
Three times a lady.
Three times a lady. All right, the girls are grown up from last week. Today we are looking for five different song titles or artists featuring the word lady. You've got 60 seconds to get as many as the five you can. If you don't know an answer, say pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. First question is our two-second song. Pauly is queuing it up right now. You need to give me both the title of the song and the artist to score that point. You go first. Woods goes second. You beat or tie him. You're in the drawing. Joe, are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Pauly, you good to go? All right.
I'm good.
60 seconds on the clock in the category three times a lady. Joe, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Woods. Yeah.
Lady Marmalade, Christina Aguilera.
Incorrect. Written for his wife, Diane, which 1986 song became a worldwide hit for the then little-known artist, Chris de Burgh.
Lady in Red.
Correct. Friday Night Arrives Without a Suitcase for which Beatles title character with Children at Your Feet.
Lady Madonna.
Correct. Which country group known for hits including Need You Now changed its name in 2020 to drop a potential association with pre-Civil War slavery?
Pass.
Which 1970 debut single became the biggest hit for progressive rock band Sugarloaf?
Green-Eyed Lady.
Correct. Which country group known for hits including Need You Now changed its name in 2020 to drop a potential association with pre-Civil War slavery?
Lady Antebellum.
That is correct. You got four, but you did not get the two-second song. That was Poker Face by Lady Gaga. Four might be good enough, though, in this category. Let's bring Woods in.
It's going to be a good one.
Got Lady in Red, Chris de Burgh, Lady Madonna, Lady A, Green-Eyed Lady. All right, Woodsy is back. He did not hear any of that. Does not get the category. Joe's score is locked in. 60 seconds back on the clock. Be careful on all of these. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Joe.
Poker Face by Lady Gaga.
Correct. Written for his wife, Diane, which 1986 song became a worldwide hit for the then little-known artist, Chris de Burgh.
Lady in Red.
Correct. Friday Night Arrives Without a Suitcase, for which Beatles title character with Children at Your Feet.
Lady Madonna.
Correct. Which country group known for hits including Need You Now.
Lady Antebellum.
Correct. Which 1970 debut single became the biggest hit for progressive rock band Sugarloaf.
Lady Taint.
Oh, you needed that one.
I didn't get it. I don't know.
It's a 4-4 tie. And Joe, congratulations. You have qualified for the drawing for Las Vegas. Green-Eyed Lady is what that one's called.
Oh, I think that sounds terrible. I think if it's the one I'm thinking of.
Green-Eyed Lady.
Yep, that's the one.
That's the one. All right.
That is the one.
All right. Joe, stay on the line. Paulie will get your information during the break as we get ready for a little Don't Do This.
I watched the Pete Rose documentary yesterday, and you guys should watch it. It's a really good documentary.
I'm definitely watching it this weekend.
But there is one part in it that made me audibly gasp, and I have the audio.
And
for
it involves someone I played golf with earlier this year,
which is insane.
Oh my god!
Which is insane.
I forgot all about that.
Insane.
You're just gonna have to get the whole story when we come back after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't forget, Jake from Cespedes Family Barbecue is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll get his thoughts on Dylan Cease's no-hitter and the upcoming trade deadline.
Well,
first, though.
And some moves that have already gone down. We haven't even talked about
true.
Yet because of the no-no.
Pretty big name.
Yeah, pretty
yesterday.
Big name.
Yep. Yeah, first, though, Don't Do This is brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sorrento Valley. What a great day to check out the Kraft Taco 100%. Today. Some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thekrafttaco.com. Take a look at those happy hour specials at thekrafttaco.com. What's...
Tuned into the Pete Rose documentary. I believe it's called Charlie Hustle or Hustle or something. It's on HBO Max. It's a really well done documentary, regardless of how you feel about Pete Rose. And it kind of shows a lot of the old stuff, and they're kind of taking him through his multiple attempts to get back into the good graces of Major League Baseball.
What it's not, it sounds like, and this is a good incorporator word. A hagiography.
Somebody tweeted that to me the other day. Yeah, which is like a...
He's a saint. He's
saint.
Perfect.
Right.
It's not just all the good stuff and none of the bad stuff.
They could have tried to do it, but if they wanted to do it, they would have had to mute his mic entirely for the entire four parts. You couldn't have had four words from him because every time you see him, he's digging himself into another hole. So, longtime Reds broadcaster Marty Brenneman, a legend. Walks in. Pete's sitting in a chair. Marty walks in with his wife,
Amanda. I played golf with her when
Correct.
You guys were at fantasy camp, and I had a couple hours to kill.
Yeah.
I just went by myself to the Wigwam Golf Course near Peoria there, and they put me together with two nice ladies, and turned out to be
Amanda Brenneman and I think Marty Brenneman's sister.
Yeah.
And Marty came at the turn, and I got a picture with Marty and got to meet Amanda. I was like, cool, they were there for Reds fancy
camp.
You texted
us that, and we were both sitting there.
Speechless.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, it was the wildest thing. So when I saw this lesson, I'm like, I think that's the lady that Ben played golf with. But Pete's sitting in a chair. Marty comes up, says hello. And then Amanda comes up, and Pete Rose had this to say to her.
Come on, Pete.
Oh, it's good to see you, though. It's been a while.
It is. You look good.
Thank you. So do you.
Still got them jugs, don't you?
They're still a part of me. Yeah, they haven't gone anywhere. You're all sick. You're all both still sick. Old, sick, old men.
He said, in case you missed it, you still got them jugs there, don't you?
Still got them jugs, don't you?
That's in the...
To a woman, a lady.
Yes, Paulie, save that for the Tournament of Drops.
Still got them jugs, don't you?
Still got them jugs, don't you? He looks her up and down.
What's Pete, like 78 years old?
81.
81 years old.
Still got them jugs, don't you?
Still got them jugs, don't you?
I'm going to say it to my wife all the time now. It's my wife. Yeah.
Hooter Research.
It's unbelievable.
She's a very nice lady.
Booby prize.
She's kind of a spitfire, so she handled it well.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you supposed to say to that to Pete Rose?
Now, you played golf with her.
Yeah.
Do you have any comments?
Comments? Anything to say? Anything to add?
She had very, very nice golf swing.
She did.
Yeah.
She's a good player.
Yeah, she had a good swing.
Still got them jugs there, don't you?
Still got them jugs, don't you?
What in the world?
Creepy old man.
It's unbelievable.
My God.
When I saw it, I went like this. Ah! I audibly gasped. Like, I was not expecting that. He looks her up and down. Oh, you look good.
That's the creepiest part.
He
didn't get that if you're just hearing this audio.
No, he looks her up and down.
He likes it.
You look
back,
good.
Looks all up and down. And that's what he decides. Those are the next words out of his mouth.
All right, Tier 1s, we got to watch the Pete Rose documentary for more.
Watch it.
Pete Rose.
Let's discuss it on Monday, if possible.
All right, this is an update from a Don't Do This story from earlier this week at the Paris Games. Remember the Canadian soccer staffer for the women's team who got caught flying a drone over the New Zealand practice, their opponent, probably trying to steal information to get ready for the game? Well, as it turns out, so the head coach said, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to sit out this first game just as kind of self-punishment for what my staffer did. Well, the Canadian Olympic Committee says new information shows that the coach, Bev Priestman, likely aware of everything that was going on, and they have fired her and sent her home from the Olympics. And not only that, but as more information comes out, it sounds like Canada's been doing this for a while.
Oh, boy.
And that everybody's been aware of this. And, maybe even all the way back to when they won the gold medal 4 years in Tokyo.
Oh, boy.
Which is bad enough, but it kind of connects to some of the other cheating scandals in sports. There's always supposed to be the fall guy. Hey, you're the non-accredited staffer. If anything goes wrong, we just blame the rogue staffer who's not really connected with the team, Michigan football.
Right. Who was that guy's name?
Connor Stallions.
Connor Stallions.
Yeah. No. This was just the one guy. He was doing this on his own. We had no knowledge of what was going on. Well, here, turns out, you did have knowledge. You all had knowledge. You knew exactly what was going on. You were just trying to insulate yourself a little bit from the crime. And you got caught, and you got fired.
Crazy, man. The Olympics have been, somebody pointed out, it's been pretty messy so far in the Olympics. Opening ceremonies
today,
10:30 this morning, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And I will do, this is like a combo, don't and do this.
D-D mega do-do.
The don't do this goes to Mason Miller, who is an all-world closer for the Oakland Athletics, soon to be the Sacramento Athletics. And he broke his
also a huge trade chip
right
now.
Broke his pinky finger on his glove hand. And
comebacker?
Nope. He came in and in the training room and he punched a the training tables are padded.
Yeah.
Paulie and I spent a lot of time
like in
a
doctor's
them.
Office
out at fantasy camp. He punched it and ended up hitting it in the wrong spot, as it were, and broke his pinky on his glove, and he can't squeeze his glove.
Why did he punch it?
So it was after a win. So this is an interesting part. My due to this goes to one of my favorite man crushes in baseball. It's Mark Kotze, who is such a refreshing... Now, he's in an organization that they've literally turned their comments off on social media. You can't comment on a... They'll post, hey, we won 5-1. You can't comment on it. Mark Kotze is about as straight a shooter as you can get. Listen to his explanation when they're talking about this.
So just getting some clarity on Mason's injury, what exactly happened? How long are you expecting him to be out for?
Yeah, I know there's some speculation, and the original statement that was put out is pretty accurate. I believe maybe Mason's agent may have, you know, thought differently and made a statement of his own, but, you know, how we do things here in this organization, we tell the truth.
Not everybody.
And the truth is, you know, Mason post game Monday night after being, you know, done with his pitching, came in the training room, was going through his recovery, was reminded that he had a post game lift to get in. Out of a little bit of frustration, he just kind of pounded his fist down on a padded training table, which, you know, out of emotion, we've all been there, done it, and unfortunately, it resulted in a fracture in his non-pitching hand and his left hand, in or around where his pinky area is, which, you know, unfortunately, he's not able to squeeze his glove and has gotten himself put on the IL.
Any timetable for this?
That's pretty much the end of it, but him talking about the agent, no. This is what happened.
I've never seen that from a sports franchise. That's radical honesty.
It really is radical honesty. Like, for him to say, yeah, his agent put out a report, that's not accurate. But to also, in a way...
He embarrassed Mason Miller.
Mason Miller by saying, bro, you had extra work to do. You didn't do it, and you punched... It's like my six-year-old.
You're frustrated by having to go do extra work.
Post-game lift.
And you injured yourself in the process.
Yeah.
They didn't have to say that.
They did not.
He could have said, yeah, he got injured in an unfortunate non-baseball
accident
in the clubhouse. And he's going to be out for a couple of weeks. But no, Mark Kotze went with radical honesty.
Yeah.
Wow. Let's don't and do this for a Friday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
And, you know, maybe hurting his trade value here. Team's now unsure of whether he'll be healthy, you know, moving forward. And that's an interesting choice there by Mark Kotze. Honesty is the best policy, they say, Woods.
I love him. I love him.
Apparently, Mark believes that 100%. All right, when we come back, Jake from Cespedes Family Barbecue on the trades that have gone down, will go down, and his thoughts on the Dylan Cease no-hitter, all next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. As Woods alluded to, had probably the first most significant pre-deadline trade went down overnight last night, and we haven't even mentioned it in an hour and 40 minutes because of the Dylan Cease no-hitter.
Yeah.
But we will talk about it with Jake from Cespedes Family Barbecue. Going to join us a few minutes early. He will be on right after traffic on a grand old Friday right here on 97.3 The Fan. And we are joined right now, Jake Mintz from Cespedes Family Barbecue and Yahoo Sports. It is brought to you by our friends at Grand Ole Barbecue. As you can tell, Jake, we are having a grand old time this morning after the second no-hitter in Padres history. Start with your thoughts on what Dylan Cease did yesterday in Washington.
What was it like the second time, guys? Because I know for your fan base, you know, the no-hitter, not having it was so built up.
It was
such a thing for you guys.
It was.
Was the second time as joyful as the first?
It wasn't as cathartic. It was certainly as fun and exciting, but it didn't have that giant, like, the elephant in the room that has been sitting around for 50 years element to it.
But it was pretty awesome.
Because it was also great that it was Cease, because sometimes you get these no-hitters and it's like, you know, Schmendrick McGee carves through the Diamondbacks, and then, like, the guy's not in, he's, like, in Korea in 2 years, right? This is the best pitcher on the baseball team making it through a whole start with not allowing a hit. Like, yes, good. Awesome. You're allowed to feel kind of this unencumbered sense of joy for him. The fact that he is very close with Joe and, like, lives in Joe's guest house. Like, I'm so happy for you guys. What a delight. You're like the seventh person I thought of, but you weren't like the 25th. And I think that's important.
I think one of our fears before the first one was that it was going to be a combined no-hitter. And we just wanted it to be one pitcher nine innings and legit. Now they've got two of them with two significant figures for the Padres.
Yeah, Jake, it'd be like the Padres winning their first World Series, but it's in a 60-game season. And, you know, according
it
to all the...
It doesn't count. It just doesn't all the, hit the same.
According to all the Dodger fans out there, they're like, oh, we would have totally given you guys credit if you had won it that year. You wouldn't. Yeah, absolutely. If it's your first one, you want it to be as legit. You don't want any... Oh, that was a questionable error handed out. There was none of that. It was just straight up.
This reminds me of my first kiss that I had when I was in the seventh grade. You know, like, I went for it. It was a real kiss. I don't look back and be like, was that my first kiss? Was it just a peck?
Yeah, yeah. Right?
Like, did I miss? No, like, I left it all out there. And history lets the record show.
You got all the way to first base.
That's right. Yeah, all the way to first base. Got a knock.
Unlike the Nats yesterday. The Nats. Booyah.
Yeah, brilliant, man. Well, listen, I went to bed last night. I woke up. First thing I do, I checked my phone. I went, oh, God, Randy Arozarena is traded. Now, the fun part about the trade deadline is not only, hey, what's my team going to do? It's also, please don't let other teams that I loathe get players that they want. And Arozarena connected to the Dodgers, obviously, Jake. And I thought it was a foregone conclusion. No, wake up. He's going to Seattle. Seattle got a decent return. I mean, I know Randy's having a down year, but I thought, oh, my God, no team needs it more than the Seattle Mariners.
Oh. What are you talking about? MLB told me that the Mariners are your guys' biggest rival.
Yeah, so yeah, our natural rivals. Yeah, we don't really care.
Yeah, I know. Randy to the Mariners makes just such an enormous amount of sense because this is a team who really needed a player like that. Their offense was just so sluggish and abysmal and punchless and frankly sad.
Yeah,
like watching the Mariners' offense was
tough.
A chore. It was an endeavor. And to see them get Randy, a guy who just brings an outrageous amount of energy to the proceedings, is going to be great for the Mariners.
We keep hearing the Padres are going to pick up a starter and a reliever, likely before the trade deadline, but got no idea who. And part of the reason, Jake, is that there's probably 11 or 12 teams that need starting pitching at least. And there's not that many starting pitchers out there to go around. This is the ultimate seller's market right now for starting pitching. How do you think it's going to play out here over the next few days?
Well, it really all depends on what happens with Garrett Crochet. I mean, he's the biggest fish, right? And yesterday he said, if you trade for me, I want an extension so that when my arm explodes, like, I can pay for my grandkids' education.
Right.
Which, totally fair. Legitimate. I do think it's a seller's market. I think the AJ Puck trade, as whatever it may come across, set the market in a very interesting way. I mean, those were two very interesting, compelling prospects that Arizona gave up to get a, albeit very good reliever with 2 years of team control. I heard that the White Sox are asking for the world and the stars for Fetty and Crochet. I think teams will pay those prices when it's all said and done, just because the amount of clubs that need a starter is really high. Again, the way that I think about trade deadline acquisition pitching, can this guy start a playoff game for me? Do I feel good if he's starting game three of a playoff series? If yes, then worth it. If it's just a bulk arm to get you through the season, I feel a little bit differently.
Talking to Jake from Sesame's Family Barbecue this morning, it's funny that you mentioned that bulk arm, because while I look at our rotation here in San Diego today, I do think, like, we're in an interesting position with Waldron pitching well and King pitching well, but, you know, he's never thrown this many innings before. Dylan Cease obviously pitching really well, locked in as anybody in baseball. I'm looking for that kind of innings eater type, that bulk guy. Who is an interesting guy that maybe you've thought of for the Padres or really any other team that needs that guy to be there to help them just get through the season and get into the postseason?
You know who's a free agent right now? Rich Hill.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God. I can't do it again.
How dare you?
How dare you?
By the way.
I cannot do it again. I saw the Dodgers are interested in him. I mean, they just signed Nick Ahmed as well. Like, everybody's scrounging a little bit to get through it.
You guys are like, Dodgers, please be interested in Rich Hill.
Please get Rich. Oh, no, he'd shove against us. You know that. He absolutely would shove.
I hope you're super interested. Zach Eflin is a guy who I think could get moved. With the Rays, he has another year of team control after this one. question with him is, like, does he start a playoff game for you? I would say when he's going well, the answer is yes. If you're looking a little bit further down the list, it gets pretty thin pretty quickly. I would say the Angels have some guys where you could, like, squint and be like, Griffin Canning, maybe? Maybe not. I mean, it is... teams will move guys who you're not particularly excited about, and then they'll make 10 starts and eight of them will be bad, and it'll just save the bullets for your important pitchers when the weather gets cold. Although it doesn't get cold where you guys are.
No. Speaking of pitchers who join the Dodgers and then shove, we had fun talking about Brent Honeywell. You guys did some stuff with him and then, you know, kind of flamed out with the Padres. They let him go. He has resurfaced with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And I think he's thrown 8 straight shutout innings and got the save yesterday in a win over the Giants. He's back. Your guy is back. But now he's in the enemy camp, Jake.
Yeah, but you guys can appreciate the character that Brent Honeywell Jr. is. This
sure.
is a guy who has had, again, 4 arm surgeries and is still playing baseball. If I had 4 esophagus surgeries like Dustin May, I would stop podcasting.
Yeah.
You know, I would go do something else. So that Brent has continued this line of work in and of itself is impressive. And he's throwing 96 again. I know things didn't work out with the Rays. Some of that is, you know, if he had been younger and had more option years, he feels like a guy they probably would have kept around. It was just the type of situation where he was at. It just didn't make sense with the roster construction for San Diego. I wish him, he's just amazing watching him get major league hitters out on the day that Clayton Kershaw came back and Ohtani homered. It's just one of those things where when you know someone and you care about them and you see them doing really well, it makes you very happy.
Jake, always appreciate it. Man, have a good week. It's good catching up with you, and it'll be a fun trade deadline. I can't wait to see all your coverage coming up in the next few days.
Guys, I just want to say you're lovely. When, you know, when I'm waiting to hop on to do this and you have the little, you know, reel of all the fun things that you guys do, really warms my heart. There are very few people on this planet like Ben and Woods, and it is a delight that I get to be associated with you and your show. And what a beautiful morning it must be in San Diego.
It's a great day.
Shining down above all.
It is a great day, man. Thanks so much, brother. Have a good weekend.
See y'all.
There he is, Jake from Cespedes Family Barbecue and Yahoo Sports, brought to you by our friends at Granite Barbecue. I'm sorry I lost our no-hitter with my flub. You're hoping we could get all the way through.
Did you mention that yet?
We have not.
We didn't set that up. Well, you don't want to talk about it while it's still going, obviously. You don't want to jinx it.
No, I texted the boys last night. Let's try to get our own no-hitter tomorrow. No flubs. And
it's always a big ask on Friday.
It's a huge ask, but I mean,
it's like asking Adam Mazur to throw now throw another one today with Adam Mazur.
That's exactly
really
right.
Prove that you can do it again.
But Adam Mazur doesn't have the experience that Ben Higgins has, and you know, this is the stretch run. And,
on Friday, I'm Adam Mazur on Fridays. This is my 17th straight day of work. I think tomorrow I finally have a full day off. So
I got to remember to never complain around Ben.
I know it's so hard to. It's so hard to complain around Ben.
Steve is finally coming back at Channel 10 from his 2-week Hawaiian vacation.
And then your other Steve,
and now the other
leaves
Steve
for a week.
Is leaving next Tuesday on a Hawaiian vacation.
That is incredible. Sorry about blowing the no-no. Well, you only made it to like the 5th, so it doesn't.
Not
it can't,
bad.
It can't,
I mean,
feel.
We got a one hitter going still.
Yeah, it can't feel too bad.
No.
I mean, you only get one guy on base. It's not terrible.
Do we think that Mike Shildt, who's going to join us at 9 o'clock, going to be pretty aggressive with his bullpen today?
Yeah.
With Adam Mazur on the mound.
I would imagine.
I was trying to look up what has Adam Mazur done since we saw him last. According to Kevin Acey, he only has made 1 start. They kind of shut him down a little bit just to give him some rest and save up some innings. So he's pretty much the same pitcher. I mean, I'm sure they've worked with him a little bit that we saw last time, which isn't necessarily a great sign for today's game against a really, really good Baltimore Orioles team and a very dangerous lineup that he's going to be facing. I'd say 1 time through the lineup plus
would
is all you really hoping for, 3, maybe 4 innings, and you're good to go. Don't tempt fate after that.
Yeah, I think that would be fantastic, man. And you know, the Orioles right now, they've got Grayson Rodriguez on the bump tonight. He's a tall order for your offense. And you have Mazur going out. He has not pitched particularly well, but I will say, if there's any inkling of any hope, It's that the Marlins just went in and took two of three and damn near won the third one. The Orioles had to win it in extra innings. So, listen, they're a little bit rattled right
now. Yeah, Craig Kimbrel blew the save. They had to go to their bullpen a little extra, so they're definitely not coming in at 100% full strength. They got to Baltimore well after the Padres did yesterday. I would imagine if things are going surprisingly well and Padres find a way to, you know, grab a lead, aggressive with the bullpen, you could probably get two innings out of Morejon. You could get extra outs out of Estrada and Suarez at the end. Go with your higher leverage guys. Matsui's been throwing well. And if it doesn't go well and you fall behind early, probably some Logan Gillespie and Eniel De Los Santos innings to eat up.
100%.
Chew up.
Steven Kolak have a ball out there.
Yeah, so you'll know how this game is going based on Mike Schilt's choice of bullpen guys in like the middle innings.
You know how we sometimes the Padres will go and they'll face somebody that they've never seen before, and no Baltimore Oriole has ever seen Adam Mazur before, ever. You know, and we face them, we're like, geez, man, like, do we not have film of this guy? He's carving us up. I'd like to see it work in reverse order tonight. The Baltimore Orioles just flummoxed by Adam Mazur. Who is this kid? And where is this changeup coming from? And boy, that slider's biting. And let them look like morons for once.
All right, we'll come back. Do we want to open some phones for Padres fans who want to talk about the no-hitter? You're good? No? Just keep talking about it ourselves?
You kind of
have to?
Well, I mean, now that you said it, like, I don't want to be the guy that's like, no?
833-288-0973. Cool. Ben and Woods back next here on 97.3 The Fan. As Woods alluded to, had probably the first most significant pre-deadline trade went down overnight last night, and we haven't even mentioned it in an hour and 40 minutes because of the Dylan Cease no-hitter.
Yeah.
But we will talk about it with Jake from Cespedes Family Barbecue. Going to join us a few minutes early. He will be on right after traffic on a grand old Friday right here on 97.3 The Fan. And we are joined right now, Jake Mintz from Cespedes Family Barbecue and Yahoo Sports. It is brought to you by our friends at Grand Ole Barbecue. As you can tell, Jake, we are having a grand old time this morning after the second no-hitter in Padres history. Start with your thoughts on what Dylan Cease did yesterday in Washington.
What was it like the second time, guys? Because I know for your fan base, you know, the no-hitter, not having it, was so built up.
It was
such a thing for you guys.
It was.
Was the second time as joyful as the first?
It wasn't as cathartic. It was certainly as fun and exciting, but it didn't have that giant, like, the elephant in the room that has been sitting around for 50 years element to it.
But it was pretty awesome.
Because it was also great that it was Cease, because sometimes you get these no-hitters and it's like, you know, Schmendrick McGee carves through the Diamondbacks, and then, like, the guy's not in, he's, like, in Korea in 2 years, right? This is the best pitcher on the baseball team making it through a whole start with not allowing a hit. Like, yes, good. Awesome. You're allowed to feel kind of this unencumbered sense of joy for him. The fact that he is very close with Joe and, like, lives in Joe's guest house. Like, I'm so happy for you guys. What a delight. You're like the seventh person I thought of, but you weren't like the 25th. And I think that's important.
I think one of our fears before the first one was that it was going to be a combined no-hitter. And
we just wanted it
to be one pitcher. Nine innings and legit. Now they've got two of them with two significant figures for the Padres.
Yeah, Jake, it'd be like the Padres winning their first World Series, but it's in a 60-game season. And, you know, according to all the Dodger fans out there, they're like, oh, we would have totally given you guys credit if you had won it that year. You wouldn't. If it's your first one, you want it to be as legit. You don't want any, oh, that was a questionable error handed out. There was none of that. It was just straight up.
This reminds me of my first kiss that I had when I was in the seventh grade. You know, like, I went for it. It was a real kiss. I don't look back and be like, was that my first kiss? Was it just a peck?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, did I miss? No, like, I left it all out there. And history lets the record show.
You got all the way to first base.
That's right. Yeah, all the way to first base. Got a knock.
Unlike the Nats yesterday.
The Nats.
Booyah.
Yeah, brilliant, man. Well, listen, I went to bed last night. I woke up. First thing I do, I checked my phone. I went, oh, God, Randy Arozarena is traded. Now, the fun part about the trade deadline is not only, hey, what's my team going to do? It's also, please don't let other teams that I loathe get players that they want. And Arozarena connected to the Dodgers, obviously, Jake. And I thought it was a foregone conclusion. No, wake up. He's going to Seattle. Seattle got a decent return. I mean, I know Randy's having a down year, but I thought, oh my God, no team needs it more than the Seattle Mariners.
Oh. What are you talking about? MLB told me that the Mariners are your guys' biggest rival.
Yeah, so yeah, our natural rivals. Yeah, we don't really care.
Yeah, I know. Randy to the Mariners makes just such an enormous amount of sense because this is a team who really needed a player like that. Their offense was just so sluggish and abysmal and punchless and frankly sad.
Yeah.
Like watching the Mariners offense was
tough.
A chore. It was an endeavor. And to see them get Randy, a guy who just brings an outrageous amount of energy to the proceedings, is going to be great for the Mariners.
We keep hearing the Padres are going to pick up a starter and a reliever likely before the trade deadline, but got no idea who. And part of the reason, Jake, is that there's probably 11 or 12 teams that need starting pitching at least. And there's not that many starting pitchers out there to go around. This is the ultimate seller's market right now for starting pitching. How do you think it's going to play out here over the next few days?
Well, it really all depends on what happens with Garrett Crochet. I mean, he's the biggest fish, right? And yesterday he said, if you trade for me, I want an extension so that when my arm explodes, like I can pay for my grandkids' education.
Right.
Which, totally fair. Legitimate. I do think it's a seller's market. I think the AJ Puck trade, as whatever it may come across, set the market in a very interesting way. I mean, those were two very interesting, compelling prospects that Arizona gave up to get a, albeit very good, reliever with 2 years of team control. I heard that the White Sox are asking for the world and the stars for Fetty and Crochet. I think teams will pay those prices when it's all said and done, just because the amount of clubs that need a starter is really high. Again, the way that I think about trade deadline acquisition pitching, can this guy start a playoff game for me? Do I feel good if he's starting game three of a playoff series? If yes, then worth it. If it's just a bulk arm to get you through the season, I feel a little bit differently.
Talking to Jake from Sesame's Family Barbecue this morning, it's funny that you mentioned that bulk arm, because while I look at our rotation here in San Diego today, I do think like we're in an interesting position with Waldron pitching well and King pitching well, but, you know, he's never thrown this many innings before. Dylan Cease obviously pitching really well, locked in as anybody in baseball. I'm looking for that kind of innings eater type, that bulk guy. Who is an interesting guy that maybe you've thought of for the Padres or really any other team that needs that guy to be there to help them just get through the season and get into the postseason?
You know who's a free agent right now? Rich Hill.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God. I can't do it again.
How dare you?
How dare you?
By the way.
I cannot do it again. I saw the Dodgers are interested in him. I mean, they just signed Nick Ahmed as well. Like, everybody's scrounging a little bit to get through it.
Dodgers, please be interested in Rich
Hill.
Yeah,
please get Rich. Oh, no, he'd shove against us. You know that. He absolutely would shove.
I hope you're super interested. Zach Eflin is a guy who I think could get moved. With the Rays, he has another year of team control after this one. Question with him is, like, does he start a playoff game for you? I would say when he's going well, the answer is yes. If you're looking a little bit further down the list, it gets pretty thin pretty quickly. I would say the Angels have some guys where you could, like, squint and be like, Griffin Canning, maybe? Maybe not? I mean, it is teams will move guys who you're not particularly excited about, and then they'll throw – they'll make 10 starts and eight of them will be bad and it'll just save the bullets for your important pitchers when the weather gets cold. Although it doesn't get cold where you guys are.
No. Speaking of pitchers who join the Dodgers and then shove, we had fun talking about Brent Honeywell. You guys did some stuff with him and then, you know, kind of flamed out with the Padres. They let him go. He has resurfaced with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And I think he's thrown eight straight shutout innings and got the save yesterday in a win over the Giants. He's back. Your guy is back. But now he's in the enemy camp, Jake.
Yeah, but you guys can appreciate the character that Brent Honeywell Jr. is. This
sure.
is a guy who has had, again, four arm surgeries
wow.
and is still playing baseball. If I had four esophagus surgeries like Dustin May, I would stop podcasting.
Yeah.
You know, I would go do something else. So that Brent has continued this line of work in and of itself is impressive. And he's throwing 96 again. I know things didn't work out with the Rays. Some of that is, you know, if he had been younger and had more option years, he feels like a guy they probably would have kept around. It was just the type of situation where he was at. It just didn't make sense with the roster construction for San Diego. I wish him, he's just amazing watching him get major league hitters out on the day that Clayton Kershaw came back and Ohtani homered. It's just one of those things where when you know someone and you care about them and you see them doing really well, it makes you very happy.
Jake, always appreciate it. Man, have a good week. It's good catching up with you, and it'll be a fun trade deadline. I can't wait to see all your coverage coming up in the next few days.
Guys, I just want to say you're lovely. When, you know, when I'm waiting to hop on to do this and you have the little, you know, reel of all the fun things that you guys do, really warms my heart. There are very few people on this planet like Ben and Woods, and it is a delight that I get to be associated with you and your show. And what a beautiful morning it must be in San Diego.
It's a great day.
Shining down above all.
It is a great day, man. Thanks so much, brother. Have a good weekend.
See y'all.
There he is, Jake from Cespedes Family Barbecue and Yahoo Sports, brought to you by our friends at Granville Barbecue. I'm sorry I lost our no-hitter with my flub. You're hoping we could get all the way through.
Did you mention that yet?
We have not.
We didn't set that up. Well, you don't want to talk about it while it's still going, obviously. You don't want to jinx it.
No, I texted the boys last night. Let's try to get our own no-hitter tomorrow. No flubs. And
there's always a big ask on Friday.
It's a huge ask, but I mean,
it's like asking Adam Mazur to throw now throw another one today with Adam Mazur.
That's exactly
really
right.
Prove that you can do it again.
But Adam Mazur doesn't have the experience that Ben Higgins has, and you know, this is the stretch run.
On Friday, I'm Adam Mazur on Fridays. This is my 17th straight day of work. I think tomorrow I finally have a full day off. So
I got to remember to never complain around Ben.
I know it's so hard to. It's so hard to complain around Ben.
Steve is finally coming back at Channel 10 from his two-week Hawaiian vacation.
And then your other Steve,
and now the other Steve
for a week,
is leaving next Tuesday on a Hawaiian vacation.
That is incredible. Sorry about blowing the no-no. Well, you only made it to like the fifth, so it doesn't.
Not
it can't,
bad.
It can't feel.
We got a one hitter going still.
Yeah, it can't feel too bad.
No,
I mean, you only get one guy on base. It's not terrible.
Do we think that? Mike Schilt, who's going to join us at 9 o'clock, going to be pretty aggressive with his bullpen today.
Yeah,
with Adam Mazur on the mound.
I would imagine.
I was trying to look up what has Adam Mazur done since we saw him last. According to Kevin Acey, he only has made one start. They kind of shut him down a little bit just to give him some rest and save up some innings. So he's pretty much the same pitcher. I mean, I'm sure they've worked with him a little bit that we saw last time, which isn't necessarily a great sign for today's game against a really, really good Baltimore Orioles team and a very dangerous lineup that he's going to be facing. I'd say one time through the lineup plus
would
is all you're really hoping for. Three, maybe four innings, and you're good to go. Don't tempt fate after that.
Yeah, I think that would be fantastic, man. And the Orioles right now, they've got Grayson Rodriguez on the bump tonight. He's a tall order for your offense. And you have Mazur going out. He has not pitched particularly well. But I will say, if there's any inkling of any hope, it's that the Marlins just went in and took two of three and damn near won the third one. The Orioles had to win it in extra innings. So, listen, they're a little bit rattled right
Craig
now.
Craig Kimbrell blew the save. They had to go to their bullpen a little extra. So they're definitely not coming in at 100% full strength. They got to Baltimore well after the Padres did yesterday. I would imagine if things are going surprisingly well and Padres find a way to, you know, grab a lead, aggressive with the bullpen, you could probably get two innings out of Morejon. You could get extra outs out of Estrada and Suarez at the end. Go with your higher leverage guys. Matsui's been throwing well. And if it doesn't go well and you fall behind early, probably some Logan Gillespie and Eniel De Los Santos innings to eat up.
100%.
Chew up.
Steven Kolek, have a ball out there.
Yeah, so you'll know how this game is going based on Mike Schilt's choice of bullpen guys in like the middle innings.
You know how we sometimes the Padres will go and they'll face somebody that they've never seen before, and no Baltimore Oriole has ever seen Adam Mazur before, ever. You know, and we face them, we're like, geez, man, like, do we not have film of this guy? He's carving us up. I'd like to see it work in reverse order tonight. The Baltimore Orioles just flummoxed by Adam Mays. You're going, who is this kid? And where is this changeup coming from? And boy, that slider's biting. And let them look like morons for once.
All right, we'll come back. Do we want to open some phones for Padres fans? You want to talk about the no-hitter? You're good? No? Just keep talking about it ourselves?
You kind of
have to?
Well, I mean, now that you said it, like, I don't want to be the guy that's like, no?
833-288-0973. Ben and Woods back next here on 97.3
FM. From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.